Well, can I ask you a couple of questions?
Yeah.
So, you talk about formal practice.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm confused about what is just practice and formal practice. When you say formal practice, you're talking about going to one pointedness. Is that correct?
No. Formal practice is sitting,
right,
quiet, not doing anything else, yeah, closing your eyes, and stay with the Buddha, mm-hmm, and whenever the mind goes out, returning back to the Buddha or to the breath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or with walking meditation, you know, mm-hmm, not looking left and not looking right, yeah, looking 1 meter ahead of you, yeah, and that every time you turn around, yeah, you say, this one path I will be with the breath or with the Buddha. That is formal practice.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with one pointedness. It hopefully leads to one pointedness, or it leads to samadhi.
So maybe I misunderstood. Like when you asked Nan about bhavana,
yeah,
she said something about watching the mind.
Yeah, that is wrong.
That is not.
That's not practice.
Why do you say that is wrong?
Because if you watch the mind, you know, nothing changes.
But doesn't that make you aware of, like, to me, let me clarify what mind is.
Yeah.
My understanding of mind is feeling, vedana,
yeah,
sanya,
yeah,
sankara,
yeah,
vijnana.
Yeah.
That is mind, right?
And rupa, yeah.
Okay, but what I understand is nama rupa,
yeah,
or nama kanda and rupa kanda.
Yeah. Rupa kanda is the body and bodily feeling, and nama kanda is mental feeling and the other one. Yeah.
So, but watching the mind, watching the feeling,
yeah,
watching the sanya,
yeah,
association,
yeah.
The thought proliferation,
yeah,
the wandering,
yeah,
of the mind.
Yes.
That's, you don't consider that part of.
No.
Because once
not
you're
its formal practice. It's not formal practice, and there's a reason why it is not formal practice.
Oh right.
Because you can watch, you can watch all the five khandhas, you know, all the nama khandhas, you know, arise and cease, arise and cease, arise and cease, and nothing will change. To the rest of your life, nothing will change. I mean, what we do is, you know, first you get the mind completely still on one point. Yeah? The second thing is we investigate. We investigate these khandhas, but we don't investigate the nama khandha, we investigate the rupa khandha first.
First?
Yeah.
But what about second?
If you are at the stage of non-return, then you observe the namakanda. Once you finish the investigation of the body, investigation is not thinking about this, thinking about that, observing this, observing that. It is about asking the right question. For instance, what came before the feeling? What came before that thought? What came before that? What came before that? What was the cause of the whole chain of, yeah?
Right.
That is, yeah?
And that's usually one of the six senses.
What?
That's usually one of the ayatana hok.
No, it doesn't necessarily mean to be.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, yes.
Because like I might see a bird and that might make me think of a bird.
But why did you see the bird in the first place?
Because of the eyes.
No. That's what you think.
Okay, so you tell me why.
That is what you have to investigate. Eh? Why did you look up? And then when you looked up, why did you see the bird?
Out of all the other things, the leaves, the trees,
yeah,
the branches, why did you pick out the bird?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
But why did you look in the first place, look up?
Well, because this body has eyes.
Yeah.
And eyes are connected to the.
Yes, that is the problem. That's how we perceive the world. But what is there? we don't see. What is behind these things? Yeah? When you look at all these things, you know, I mean, you're deluded. Yeah, you live in a sort of delusion. Yeah, you think this is a bird, you know, and you label it as a bird, so you manifest it as a bird. Yeah, but what is a bird? You don't know.
It's none of my business, though.
That's exactly why we do it. I mean, we want to detach from this world.
Right.
Yeah?
Right. And so, if you see yourself seeing the bird,
yeah,
thinking about the bird,
yeah, you don't detach.
Then that's arising.
Yeah?
But for me,
yeah,
then as soon as I am aware that I am seeing that and that is arising,
yeah,
then it tends to just go away. Then I stop thinking about that.
Yeah.
And I go back into, yeah, what I call nothingness or stillness.
Yeah.
And just kind of like being aware of being aware. Does that make sense?
Not really, because you still, you know, I mean, there is some interest. Yeah. That makes you look up. And where does this interest, yes, come from?
That's because you're sitting like this and you're getting bored, and so that makes you look up to get rid of that boredom, and then you start wandering again.
That's
proliferating.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So you have to deal with this boredom. Yeah.
Right.
And once you can deal with the boredom, then there's something much more intrinsic. Yeah.
Right.
And that is called restlessness.
Right.
Yeah. And this restlessness, yeah, I mean, that creates all our things that we get involved with the world. And if we just watch a mind, I mean, nothing will change. But if we start to investigate, yeah, and see what causes this actually, yeah, mm-hmm, then these things stop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
But you don't, yeah, I mean, that's why I'm saying watching the mind doesn't bring any result. Asking the questions, yeah?
Why am I aware of this object?
Not why. Why is not the question, because why leads always to thinking. You have to ask the question, what came before that? And what came before that? And what came before that? Yeah?
But if you're investing.
And how is it, how does it feel? And how does it feel, you know, boredom? What is it like to be boredom? How does boredom differentiate yourself, you know, from for instance, restlessness, or from anger, or from greed, or from this, yeah? Because we think these are different things, but they are not. And only through investigation you get to know that all these things, you know, I mean, are just one and the same thing.
But, okay, so investigating,
yeah,
you're asking questions.
Yes.
Why is this?
Why is this? What is this?
Okay, what is this? But, okay, let's go back to the bird.
Yeah.
What is this? It's a bird.
Yeah, but that is already association. So you use your memory.
Right.
Yeah? You use sanya.
Right.
You don't. You want to go before what is before what is sanya.
Before the sanya, we're, yeah, observing the bird.
Yeah, but when you say observing the bird, I mean, 1,000 steps have already proceeded before you tell yourself, I'm observing the bird. The sanya tells you, you're observing the bird. Oh, this is a bird. And then, you know, your thought said, I'm observing the bird. Yeah? And this is so difficult, yeah? I mean, it's so difficult. If you don't have enough sati, you don't see, you know, this intermingling, yeah?
Right.
That intermingling between thoughts and sanya,
right,
yeah, or memory association, that creates a whole delusion that we live in.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why we first do the body, yeah, because we attach to this body, we live for this body, we feed this body, and we house this body, and everything that we do is for this body. And yeah, the important thing is also, yeah, if it didn't have the six senses, you know, I mean, we wouldn't care about this right, mess of flesh.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but that is also body.
Yeah.
So we have to distance ourselves from the body. Yeah. And that is only through investigation. Yeah.
So when you investigate,
yeah,
you're asking a question.
Yeah.
But what good is investigation if you don't get an answer? If you don't find an
answer. That's why you have to. Investigation is asking the right question. Yeah. And the asking the citta the question that knows the answers. But the citta will not relieve the answers because the kilesas will block it, you know, and tell you something, you know, that is completely unimportant. Yeah. So you have to go through this mist of the kilesas, yeah, in order, you know, in order to get down to the answer of the citta.
Okay, that leads me to my next question. So are you familiar with the word epiphany? What an epiphany is?
I heard it, but I don't know.
So, I don't know if I can explain it good, but it's like a realization,
yeah,
a sudden realization, an yeah, understanding
yeah,
of something very deep that changes yeah, your life.
Isn't that called an insight?
I think it's the same. I think I've been studying what is the difference in insight and epiphany. I'm not sure.
Insight, seeing inside the true things. Yeah, I mean we call in a meditation terms it's called insight.
It's called insight.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I used to call it.
Yeah.
But then I've been kind of studying too about and somebody.
You're reading too much, you know? That's not good for you.
Okay. Well, let me go back to my question.
Okay.
So, like Nongpu or Longpu Nalong used to talk about Pulu.
The Pu? Who?
Longpu Nalong? Nalong?
Nalong.
You know him.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, that, so, okay, let me explain yeah, more. This is hard to explain in words, because it's something that, so I had an insight.
Yeah.
One day I seen a person, and this voice or this realization came to me. Mm. It said, every time you see an object, whether it be a material object or a mental object,
yeah,
and you make a judgment or an opinion or a view of that object,
yeah,
that is the beginning of the ego or of the self.
Not yet? Ah. And, no, but there's something coming before that.
There's something coming before what?
Before you, yeah. Before what you just said. I can't recall, but what did you say? I mean, the moment you have an objection, opinion, view on it, nah? No. That certainly, you know, that certainly creates the ego. But, you know, before that comes something else. The classification that comes from your ego.
Right.
I mean, the classification, this is a birth. This is not yet an opinion. An opinion is formed through thoughts and the classification or the association.
So you see this object.
And if you see it as it is, without being classified, right, there is no feeling coming up.
Right.
And once a feeling comes up, you know, then likes and dislikes come up.
Then you have a view, judgment or an opinion of that object.
Yeah. So if you just stay without classification, then everything is right.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's what I realized at that time.
No, no. What you said is not what you realized.
What was it then?
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, I mean, but it doesn't go deep enough.
Well, everything's a step. But I felt that it was like a step in the right direction.
Yes,
because
yes.
Ever since then, it changed my life.
Yeah, yes.
It really did, because, like, well, that happens to me a lot now. When I see something, and it's like, well, so what? That's just something. It's just nothing to have an opinion about. Nothing to have a view about.
Yep. Yes, but you still have thoughts about it. And that is where it goes wrong.
But and as soon as...
The moment you make a view, you know, you make the view on, yeah, that is nothing. That is a view.
Right.
Just seeing clearly without any, you know, any thought, any mental object coming up, then you just see it. Yeah.
Right.
That is the correct thing.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Now, but that's not what you explained.
I know, and it's hard, like I say, for me to explain in words, but I'm trying the best I can. But anyway, that was an insight.
Yeah. Yeah, the insight is correct, but it's not yet deep enough.
Investigate more.
Yeah, and you have first of all, you have to investigate the body. Yeah, people in the West don't like to investigate the body because it is loathsome.
Yeah.
It brings up a lot of anger.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what we have to deal first with greed and hatred. Yeah, with anger, you know, and lust, you know, before we can deal with these mental problems. Because if you understand, you know, I mean, what I'm normally saying is avicca. Yeah? Avicca is the mastermind, yeah? Has three armies. Yeah? Greed, hatred, and behind greed and hatred is the delusion that pushes greed and hatred in the forefront. So that is what you mostly see, greed and hatred. Yeah? You don't see delusion unless you got rid of greed and hate. Then you see delusion. And that is what, you know, I mean, the insight that you have is not wrong, yeah? But it doesn't help you as long as you have greed and hatred.
Right.
So, you have to investigate the body, yeah? But that is what Western people don't like to do because it is so easy to, they think it is so easy to investigate the mind, yeah? But that is delusion, investigate delusion. So, I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't lead to anything.
To investigate the delusion?
You cannot investigate the delusion unless you are finished investigating, you know, greed and hate.
Okay.
And that is connected with the body, yeah?
Thank you for taking time and talking to me.
Yeah, you're welcome. I always like his questions, yeah.
Can I ask something?
Mm-hmm.
So when we do the body investigation, for example, if we have a pain somewhere in the body, and we start to investigate that, is that body investigation or that's better investigation or that's...
That's called pain investigation. If you have pain, you know, it's called pain investigation. Yeah? Then, yeah, I mean, it's also important for you. What is pain? Not why is pain. What is pain? How does it feel like? Breathe it in. Feel it. Yeah? Yeah? And then look at it, you know, where is it exactly located? Yeah? Is it in the skin? Is it in the bones? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the flesh? Yeah, I mean, you were born, you know, with flesh and bones and everything, you know, but there was no pain. Yeah, and when you get up from your sitting meditation, there's no pain. So where actually is this pain? That's what you want to find out. Yeah. First of all, you know, if you have to accept it, and then you ask, where is this pain? Yeah? And if you come close to the answer, you know, the pain moves from one point to the next point. And then you go to the next point, you know, and do the same thing, investigate the point there, yeah? I mean, with pain investigation, you actually have to go to the object of pain, yeah? And then, you know, I mean, if you're good enough, I mean, you can follow up the pain until it shows you where it actually comes from, yeah?
So where does it actually come from?
You want the shortcut.
No, I'm trying to take a shortcut.
You won't find it, and you won't get, unless the citta sees where the pain is coming from. Yeah? If you know where the pain is coming from, if you know all these things, you know, I mean, it doesn't.
It's coming from the rupa.
No,
and it's coming from the nama.
No. Okay. You will have to see. Yeah, you have to see for yourself. And then you can deal with pain. It's the same thing, you know, when we deal with cold, yeah? What is cold, you know? To see, you know, I mean, to investigate what is cold or what is heat, yeah?
But I found out that when, after a while, when you take out the labels, qualification of the pain, remain kind of sensation and then can be sometimes like radiating, heavy.
Yeah.
But strangely, it doesn't associate the name pain, but with
no, it's okay.
A kind of association between ourself, I would say, and the pain, and seeing it like some different objects. Is that
different object?
Like,
no.
Like a part of the leg, but like maybe your or someone, but like the leg is not.
No. That is trying to go around, in circles. Yeah. No. You stick to the point. Yeah. No matter if you say it's pain, but it's something that you dislike.
Mm.
Yeah. So you have to accept the feeling. Then you have to ask where this feeling is coming from. You don't have to say pain. You can say feeling. Yeah.
Don't
say, it's a lack, because the pain can move to the back, yeah?
Mm.
Huh?
Okay.
Huh? Or it can move anywhere, some people have something, it's moving to the head, or moving to the arm, or moving to the shoulders, it doesn't really matter where the pain is, yeah? You have to follow the pain until you know exactly where it's coming from, yeah? And it is the citta that knows, yeah? That is the puru, yeah? Yeah, the puru, yeah, that one that knows, yeah, and there's the one that knows, yeah, that sees, thoughts arising, vedana arising, sanya arising, even vijnana arising, so consciousness arising. That is the puru, yeah, but that is not the puru that is completely out of the samsara. Yeah? That is a How did they call it? Puru Lun Lun.
The pure
puru. And the pure puru is very different from the puru.
Hmm. Yeah. So the contaminated puru.
Yes, and that is our citta. Or he calls it contaminated citta. Yeah, and then he calls it the pure citta. And the pure citta is it is the puru. But that does no object.
Hmm.
That is in unity with itself.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's from the beginning of time to the end of time. Yeah? Because there's no time, there's no space, there's no past and there's no future, there's just this puru.
So,
for the,
for the body, this situation, what I found, it's like, for example, like, say like cutting the body in the part or like opening like the but I found it is some like imagination. So like, it's difficult to make it realistic.
It takes some time. It takes some time. You can take a medical atlas, and look at the parts, the parts that you normally don't see, of the body. Concentrate just on one part, until you have a visual image, yeah, and then close your eyes and then reproduce this image, yeah. Over the time, for me, it took me 9 months, of very hard work, until I could actually see internal things, yeah. And in the beginning, we have to use this imagination.
But this visualization also is linked with investigation. So
yes.
Once we realize it well, we start to answering what is it,
No, let the citta answer what it is. Yeah? Don't answer it yourself, because that is the kilesa's answering. Yeah? It is very different, and people who have a little bit of experience in practice is the kilesas answer very fast, yeah? And it is very noisy when the kilesas answer. When the puru answers or when the citta answers, it is just knowing. Yeah? And this knowingness you can never question. Any answer that comes from the kilesas you can always question. I don't believe you, I don't trust you, but what is it, and why is it like this, or why is it like that, yeah? And then the kilesas find, just like every person in this world finds an excuse, yeah? And but the puru, yeah, or the citta, yeah, the knowingness of the citta, never finds an excuse, yeah. I mean, it just knows the fact, yeah, and the fact is the truth, and the truth cannot be altered, yeah.
And it doesn't elaborate on the truth.
Of course not.
It just is the truth, and
it just knows, yeah. And even if 1,000 people come and say that it's not true, you know it is true. Mm. Yeah. Mm. That is the freedom, yeah? That is the freedom of the Arahant, because he knows, you know, this is true, yeah? And there can be millions of people say, no, what you say is wrong, you know, he doesn't even react, he doesn't even need to defend. The moment you need to defend one of your views, opinion, you know, it is not knowing.
Does the Arahant still have those thoughts? Or those kilesas that come up?
No, not kilesas. But he still has thoughts coming up. He still has memories coming up. Because he has not gotten rid of the khandhas yet.
Right.
And the khandhas are thoughts and memories. You know, they still come up. But there's nobody who brings them up.
There's no elaboration on it.
There's nobody who brings up these thoughts and memories. Yeah. Because when you sit in meditation, the kilesas constantly bring up thoughts and memories. Yeah. But if the kilesas are gone, yeah, I mean, no thoughts and memories are coming up. But he still has thoughts, yeah. I mean, he still dreams, yeah. That is quite normal because he has the khandhas. You know, and the khandhas were developed over billions and trillions of lives, yeah.
He doesn't identify with them.
He doesn't identify with them, yeah. He just sees, you know, just like people, you know, people walking by, you know, he doesn't identify with these people, yeah? Just like, you know, clouds are coming. And if it's useful, he takes it, you know, and uses it. If it's not useful, he doesn't take it, yeah? Just like the food, you know, if you think something is useful, you take it. If you think it's not useful, you don't take it, yeah? And you don't act on it, yeah? It is very difficult to explain, you know, I mean, how an Arahant, yeah? I mean, an Arahant also still has some karma, you know, to get rid of, yeah? And some karma, you know, with other people, you know, interaction with other people. That is not depending on his interpretation of the situation. It is depending on the karma of these two people, you know, or the people working together. Yeah?
The whole thing is...
It's completely...
difficult to talk about.
What?
The whole... concept of what we're talking about is difficult to talk about.
Yeah.
Because words don't really explain what we're trying to get at.
And especially if you don't know what you're talking about. If you know what you're talking about, it is not too difficult to talk about.
Still, I got to grasp that concept.
Yeah, and the moment you grasp that concept, you are deluded.
I got to leave.
Because an Arahant doesn't have concepts.
Right.
Yeah? Mm. So, I mean, he talks what he's seeing, you know, what he's seeing at the moment. And one action of the Arahant, you know, can be, you know, you can see, oh, okay, that is a good action. And the next action he does it, why does he do that? Mm. Yeah? Mm. Because he is not bound by concept, by views and opinions of other people. He is bound by the karma, the relation, you know, between you know, these objects, you know, or these persons. Yeah?
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, pain investigation, just stick to it. Yeah? Yeah? Don't mentalize it. Oh, that's not my, yeah? That is not my leg. Yeah? No, you have to understand, you know, you have to take it out, you know, and see the parts of the body, you know, until there's a separation of the citta from the body part, yeah? And then put one body part back, you know, and then suddenly this I arises, you know, this self arises, yeah? And then you take it back out, you know, until the citta understands, not you. You understand it instantly. But that is not right understanding. The understanding that comes from the citta who understands, and that it really is a cut, you know. I mean, you feel the cut, you know. I mean, you feel somebody has cut through something. And then it is right. Yeah?
Sometimes I can feel that kind of, I don't know how to explain it, like body is still, doesn't move, or maybe, and then after it's kind of mental thing that you can move like something, like magnets,
yeah,
body or something like that.
Yeah.
Have sensation, like a dissociation between the body and then, which is still and no, almost no sensation.
Yeah.
And the sensation with moving, like
yeah,
like the body or something like
yeah,
that.
I mean, you can feel all these things, and I mean, you can feel all the sensations that are constantly, you know, I mean, there's constant sensations in the body. I mean, you feel it is that there's an energy running through the body, you know, I mean, that keeps this body, you know, alive. Yeah, you can feel that, you know, but it doesn't, yeah, I mean, the dissociation doesn't come with it, you know, yeah? This entanglement doesn't come with it. You can say it, you know, but you're still attached to it, yeah? Because, I mean, you don't see it all the time, you know, when you open your eyes, you know, you see the food, ah, I like this food, you know, ah, I don't like this food, you know, I like this, you know, I like this woman or don't like this woman, you know, or, you know, I don't like the situation, I like the situation, and then, I mean, it has not cut off, yeah? Your identification with the body, yeah? Okay, so good enough.